Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What if? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today we're going to ask the question, what if? That's right. Today, it's the NFL. See that? Dad jokes right at the top. We're going to talk about 15 potential scenarios that could change the fantasy landscape in 2023 in a major way. And to help us do it, Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, is here as always, and he's hatless today, which is great. I like when he's more confident with that beautiful bald head of his. See, learning a lesson for me, Joey P, and the newest director of operations. That's right. It sounds like a big title at Player Profiler. He's one of the best rankers on the planet. So who better to talk about potential futures with than Billy Muzio? You can follow him on the Twitter machine at FF Muzio. And Billy, also, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, is down to that one last button at the top here. So he's bringing the sexy here to the YouTube channel. Look at this guy. So director of operations, congratulations, Billy. Well deserved. How does it feel to have that big title?
It's great, guys. You know, it's a beauty because it takes my business background in my everyday job, and it gets to blend it with what I thought would always be a mere hobby of mine and combine the two into a dream job, to where I get to utilize my skill set in the business world and blend it with my fantasy football skill set and create this wonderful title of director of operations. So I'm excited for the new journey. I'm excited for the opportunities it's going to present and for our product roadmap here in 2023.
Look how professional. Derek, why can't you be more like that? Billy should be running for Congress.
And I was
right
like,
now,
I mean, if anybody saw me, I'm taking notes over here.
Yeah, me too.
I'm looking like, at Muzio's style. I'm like, pre-announcement, he had the button up, post-announcement, it's letting it fly. I mean, I'm taking notes all over the board.
Although I do feel like I maybe need to shave my head like on the podcast here.
That'd be great. Yes, let's arrange for that. That's wonderful.
Saying it's a good look. All right, before we get to more good looks potentially for 2023, we're going to talk about quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, a lot of these free agents or potential trade targets, where they might end up, and have some fun. Consider this the Marvel what if you will, of fantasy football, because, you know, it's February and we're still waiting for free agency to really roll around. We're getting coaching changes and all that. But you know what else it's time for? Best ball. And the best ball draft kick is now available. That's right. So before we get too far into things, don't forget, go over to fantasypros.com/bestball. See, it's a very clever URL. It's easy to remember. And you can get yourself equipped with rankings, ADP, position primers, and insightful strategy articles to make the ultimate resource for your best ball draft. And premium subscribers get even more exclusive content, including roster construction and how to approach each stage of the best ball draft. Because best ball ain't that easy necessarily if you want to be great at it. So upgrade today. Again, that's fantasypros.com/bestball. And if you go premium, I think Derek Brown will throw in a can of his favorite beard balm as well. So that's another big plus there. So you should have your own beard product launch at some point. I'm thinking like that's a good side business for you. What do you think, D?
I keep talking to the powers that be at Fantasy Pros and trying to get them to add that to the merch store. Yeah. We're still in negotiations, but trying, Joe. I'm trying.
Dude, Joe, we're working that out. All right, let's start with the quarterbacks here because they can have the biggest impact on, obviously, any offense that they go to. And I want to start with Lamar Jackson because that's where everybody is talking. Will the Ravens bring him back? Won't they? He doesn't want to play under the franchise tag. I don't blame him. And now a lot of people like myself would say, hey, you know, it would be fun. It would be fun if he ended up in Atlanta because it feels like Atlanta is just a quarterback away. Billy, you're our guest today, so let's talk about this. Is Atlanta just a quarterback away, like I just said? Do you think they need more? And do you think Lamar Jackson in the dome could recreate some of that old Michael Vick magic and maybe get this team back into the playoffs and make fantasy studs of Pitts and Drake London at the same time?
I don't think anybody in that division is one piece away from a Super Bowl or even a conference title, to say at the least. I was doing those projections last night, and what normally takes me a couple hours per division took me about 3x just because of the uncertainty and the muddied waters at not just one, two, or three positions per team. It's like pretty much across the board. When you look at contracts, when you look at free agency money, when you look at what is available in terms of talent on the team, I think the Falcons probably have the upper hand in a lot of those categories, specifically, you know, for the cap space and specifically for younger talent that they're developing. I think that Lamar Jackson would be a great addition to that team. I'm not quite sure, though, that the Ravens will allow it. So they still have the opportunity to franchise tag him until they can work out a deal. I think that's probably the most likely outcome here. We have the franchise tag window, I think, opens up tomorrow. Yeah, February 17th through March 7th, I think, are the dates. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we have a little bit more clarity tomorrow with his situation. I know he doesn't want to play underneath that tag, but I don't think that the Ravens are going to let him walk, quite frankly.
All right. They have the number 8 pick overall, so if you do want to get involved with a trade and give up a one and another one potentially next year and some more picks along with it, in your opinion, if Lamar, let's say D-Bro, did end up there, we've seen how good he can be with a premium tight end and Mark Andrews. Is this the guy that could potentially revive Kyle Pitts after a disastrous 2022?
I think that this would be the elixir for Lamar Jackson to reclaim the peak of his powers. I think that this could be... I mean, honestly, we saw really good moments out of this Falcons offense last year. Now, I know that we all had our Arthur Smith jokes and everybody talks about him running the ball and stuff, but myself included. But we have seen Arthur Smith also turn in some pretty kind of quarterbacks into some really awesome fantasy assets. Like Ryan Tannehill went from pumpkin to prince. Marcus Mariota went from terrible to a little bit less terrible and fantasy relevant. This would be the best, arguably the best collection of weapons like Lamar Jackson's been surrounded by with Kyle Pitts and Drake London. So while I don't think that it's going to raise the volume ceilings for both these guys, honestly, if Lamar were to land there, this could be a situation where they're just trying to outscore everybody. I mean, we're talking like top 10, top 12. Type of scoring offense.
Well, the old lines are already built for. They're already built for running the football. We already know that. You know, I was seeing a little fun rumor thing floating around today. Actually, this is a little bonus one that wasn't even on there about Justin Fields not liking the cold in Chicago. Blah blah blah. Justin Fields in there? What about trading for the 1 and the 8 and a couple other things there? We think of Justin Fields potentially in that Falcons offense, D.
I mean, him or Lamar, it's going to just light it on fire, man. I would absolutely love it, especially because with Fields and Lamar, their ability to go deep over Marcus Mariota's struggles last year, just tossing ducks, would give this ceiling would give this offense a ceiling that we have not seen yet. Like, just envision this for a second, guys. Fields or Lamar landing in Atlanta, and then you have the Falcons take somebody like Zach Charbonnet in the 3rd round or something like that. Like, we could be cooking with some pretty nice grease here.
Billy, do you think that the Falcons make a move for quarterback, or is this just all pie in the sky fun kind of talk here and they end up going with Desmond Ridder at the end of the day?
I think plan B is Desmond Ridder. I think they do make a run for quarterback. They have the cap space in order to do it. I think they have the second most cap space in the NFL. No one's talked about this, but since we're creating you know, nice little fairy tales right now. I want to say that I would really like to see some teams get creative here. And I think that it could be done because we've heard the possibility of Chicago moving on from Fields. Okay. We know that the Ravens want Lamar to stay and that they're willing to franchise tag, but Lamar will not play on the franchise tag. There's a solution here, I think, for everybody. And I think that technically the Ravens could franchise tag Lamar and then trade him. It'd be nice to see him do that with the Chicago Bears. They could acquire Fields, who, in my opinion, is a younger version, maybe less talented, in my opinion, than Lamar, but at least the offense could run in a very similar fashion. And then from there, they get their quarterback with Fields. The Chicago now gets Lamar, and then now they have the ability to trade out of their draft pick and acquire more draft picks for that franchise. So I think if I was a GM, that's the way I would try to roll with it. But we all know the NFL never does things that make sense, and they always try to overcomplicate things. So I think we'll probably see something completely different.
Well, speaking of things that might not make a lot of sense, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. The darkness retreat is in full swing right now. In a couple weeks, Derek Brown and I are going on a darkness retreat too. It's going to be awesome. God knows what's going to happen there. But we are going to potentially see where Aaron Rodgers lands next, whether or not he stays in Green Bay. We kind of know what Green Bay would look like, but what if he got reunited with Davante Adams in Las Vegas? Now, this one to me, I kind of roll my eyes at a little bit because you talk about a team that's got financial issues, it's Vegas. But the one thing we always see is when there's a premium quarterback with a big name, NFL franchises somehow find a way to make it all work, don't they, at the end of the day? So, D-Bro, let's start with you with this one. What do you think the impact of Aaron Rodgers going to Vegas would be? And you think it's something that we might actually even see in 2023, him playing for another team besides the Packers?
I mean, I think it's possible. I'm not willing to rule anything out with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't think that he stays in Green Bay. I think that we've seen enough smoke come out of Green Bay that I think that he's going to move on. The question is where. And I easily could see him, you know, being the Dark Knight, landing with the Raiders. And this being a good move for them in the sense of, I mean, they're kind of built to win now. You have Adams, you have Waller, you have Renfro, except the rest of the roster is like, well, I don't know if we can hold up the mustard. Mm. But with Aaron Rodgers, I think that for fantasy purposes, this would be fantastic because the thing with Green Bay that has held down his numbers has been they've been slow, incredibly slow over the last few years, like bottom three in pace. The Raiders are not doing that. They were at least middle of the road. And Derek Carr was terrible last year, like terrible. I threw a tweet out there yesterday talking about like between Derek Carr and Andy Dalton, I'd rather have Andy Dalton. So you're talking about like
that's just crazy.
No, it's not crazy. Stop it. Really is not crazy. Stop it.
It's not that crazy.
It's not crazy.
Last year he wasn't good. The year before he threw for 4,800 yards, guys. Come on.
In his other personal metrics, we're still doo-doo butter.
That number in his entire career. Speaking of Derek Carr, now this was a player that obviously the Saints had kicked the tires on and had some interest. And Derek Carr chose a certain finger to show the organization and is now officially released. So, Billy, if Derek Carr and the Saints ends up getting together here after this release, do you think that Derek Carr, or is, you know, replacing Andy Dalton, with Chris Olave and a chip on his shoulder, can revitalize the Saints offense?
Oh man, it's a tough one. So new reports are that now that Baker is linked to New Orleans as well. So there's, I think, a lot of maybe uncertainty surrounding their quarterback future as well. If we do get to see Carr go, we actually get to have live stat metrics where Carr versus Andy Dalton now for D-Bro and your guys' debate. And we will actually have it play out in front of us. I think the Colts are probably a little bit more, I think, a better fit, I would say. But I do think that if he does go to New Orleans, I may actually mark Olave down a peg just because Carr does like to throw deep, but he will not throw it unless there's separation to the receiver, which I think may hinder Olave in this offense. He's one of the better route runners, but anytime you see a new quarterback go to a new team, learn a new system, have new weapons, we always see a slow start or at least some sort of sluggish offense at first. I mean, prime example last year is
Russell Wilson.
Yeah. And so every year when I've done rankings, anytime you have an offensive coordinator change, a head coach change, a quarterback change, or any sort of change with the team and the structure, it's always worth noting for the rankings that you want to, you typically mark them down a peg because of that consistency that is going to be just take time to develop and blossom for them to get to know each other.
And Carr's just 31 years old. So if you are looking to make it a long-term investment, it seems like one that, you know, if you're fighting for that NFC South, it's wide open. You can throw a dart there and see in the next couple of years if you could build something. And Derek Brown continues to shake his head. So we'll see. Maybe you get the red rifle back after all and your dreams come true. Let's talk about the handsomest of all the quarterbacks, handsome Jimmy G himself, Jimmy Garoppolo. Things were going so well for Jimmy G. He was like the savior here. And then another injury. And he's been a guy that has struggled with injuries in his career. I continue to say that the Jets are just a quarterback away, really, from doing something here. D-Bro, when you're looking at Jimmy G, is he the right fit for the Jets? And if so, what does that mean for Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, the rest of this offense? Because he's not a prolific passer, necessarily. But the one thing you say about Jimmy G, he can manage the offense, and that's something, if you take away the turnovers or Zach Wilson, take away, you know, the inability to, you know, really make good reads and get rid of the football on time, and just get some proficient quarterback play, there could be a huge leap for this Jets offense.
Yeah, you take away Zach Wilson and you take away the ability to just play quarterback terribly. it would be a substantial upgrade. And I know that people don't link that between Jimmy Garoppolo and substantial upgrade, don't usually fall in the same sentence. But anybody's a substantial upgrade over Zach Wilson. Like, I saw tweets yesterday. I was like, what if Derek Carr lands at the Jets? And I'm like, well, he's not better than Andy Dalton, but he's better than Zach Wilson.
Oh, model with the bad end. What are you doing? I'm going to go pull up Andy Dalton's career stats here. Go ahead.
We could do a comparison. I got it right here, Joe. But anyway, staying
now you brought your
on
receipts.
Task here. I've got the numbers, my friend. But staying on task here. Garoppolo would allow this offense to stay on schedule instead of bad, you know, whether it's bad sacks, bad plays, early in drives. The Jets offense was terrible last year, like 26th in red zone scoring attempts per game. They were 31st in red zone touchdown rate. Those numbers are going to go up. So you're talking about higher touchdown expectancy for all the parts and pieces of this offense, as well as Jimmy Garoppolo over the last three seasons, 11th, 19th, 15th, which might not sound great, but it's still a whole hell of a lot better than Zach Wilson and red zone accuracy rating. So I think that even getting a quarterback to the ilk of Jimmy Garoppolo would be a massive win for the Jets in the sense of, oh, he's not going to just like shoot us in the foot every single drive and we're actually able to put up more points. Aha! Win!
Billy, what do you think? Is Jimmy G the guy for the Jets or you got somebody else earmarked for that spot?
Oh, man. So they have the Robert Saleh connection, which is nice. But the word on the street is that Vegas is making a push for Jimmy G as well. I don't think that he would make a major impact on either team. I think that he will be safe enough to move the ball down the field. Jimmy Garoppolo is a game manager, and he's never going to be anything more than that, in my opinion. He's kind of like the modern day, you know, Fitzpatrick, where he's just an opportunist at the quarterback position and always finds an availability to slide himself into a starting role. I don't think, though, he has the arm that Fitzpatrick had and be able to throw the ball down the field. I mean, Jimmy G has one of the lowest deep ball attempts in the NFL. And so I think if he does land in the Jets, it's going to severely benefit the running back core and then probably the tight end position as well. I probably mark Garrett Wilson down in my ranking slightly just because of Jimmy G, and I've seen what he's done to the Niners.
So Wilson down, Hall up there, in case you're paying attention at home. If Jimmy G goes out, well, he did manage teams to NFC championship game and Super Bowl, so with a good defense. So if you're a Jets fan, I think you'll take Jimmy G over Zach Wilson any day of the week.
Let's take anybody over Zach Wilson.
let's hit two more quarterbacks here. Former big time top draft quarterbacks, Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield. I know Indianapolis might be looking for a transitional quarterback. Some other teams in the NFL draft this year, too, could be kicking the tires on QB. Billy, with Winston, Mayfield, in your opinion, do you think Indianapolis is the landing spot for one of these guys? Or is there a scenario where either of these guys can actually help an offense from a fantasy perspective? Or is it just over?
Oh, man, they're both pretty bad. I think that they'll probably find themselves in a spot competing for a role. I would not be surprised if it's versus each other, honestly. but I don't think that either of them will land a starting gig in 2023. I think they'll have the opportunity to compete for it, but I don't think they'll land it.
D-Bro, look, I think Billy's probably right. These guys are going to be competing for jobs. If one of them should win a job, does that mean a downgrade in the respective offense completely?
I mean, I think it depends on what offense. Like, if we were to pencil in Jameis Winston going to the Colts, I think it'd be a good thing for one Michael Pittman, considering yes. they neutered him into being a short area wide receiver. Like, he quietly had a solid season. Did he have the season that we all wanted him to have? No. He almost caught 100 freaking balls, though, and the volume is still going to be there. And with Winston, you're looking at the ability to unlock the deep ball again because Matt Ryan wasn't doing that. Carson Wentz was terrible before him. And Pittman was 19th in PFF receiving grade on deep balls and 17th in deep yards per route run in 2021. So if there's one of these guys I'd want to go to Indy or anywhere else, it'd be Jameis Winston. And I was a Baker Mayfield stan like way back when, but Baker, whatever magic he had, he's lost it and it ain't coming back. I don't want Baker Mayfield in control of any offense that I actually care about starting players out of, because we've seen what happens. Like, okay, yeah, the Rams thing was cute and that was all great for a hot second, and then he turned back into a pumpkin. So no, Mayfield, I'm out. But Winston,
it's gonna be a really
maybe.
Yeah, it's a tricky year when you're looking at, you know, last year was, we talked about on the show last year, I said there's gonna be the biggest quarterback movement you ever seen in your whole life, and then sure enough, not only was it the biggest movement, but on top of which, the most quarterbacks started in any NFL season in the history of the NFL. Mm-hmm. And it's not his strike season taking into account either, where you had a complete replacement. And the problem is you had Brady retire. If Rodgers retires too, you can even up even more spots potentially. So this is going to be a very tricky year to focus. Let me tell you, focus on offenses that have a quarterback, an OC, a head coach, everything together with good weapons as much as you can. I feel like Adam Sandler and Billy Madison, where I just want to shake people. It's like, draft the good players on the good teams as long as you can. For God's sakes, cherish it. That's what I want to say to everybody. Let's go to the wide receivers.
Real quick, sorry. But we're seeing it in draft rooms already. Like, I'm already about 80 drafts in best ball. And we've seen.
Is that all?
That's it. Yeah, I'm kind of behind.
Ah, you're lagging, Muzio.
Jeez, yo.
But we have. You have a max. What kind of life are you living, man? Jeez.
We have. We've seen the quarterbacks, you know, they're going in rounds, early round two right now, like the Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allens. And, you know, that we're seeing like 2 to 3 round increases from last year. And it's because of the uncertainty at the position and because people were burned down in the playoff stretch in 2022. And so we're seeing that direct reflection in ADP already as well.
2 years ago in the Black Book, I wrote like a manifesto about, look, this is where the position's going. You could say late round quarterback all you want, but the elite quarterback has separated from the QB1 path. Especially with these Russian guys, the Josh Allens and Lamars. I'm like, listen, this is going to be a whole new world here for everybody. And everyone's like, I can still wait on quarterback. Yeah, you can. But I'm telling you right now, you want to lock some of these guys in. But that's fascinating that you're in second round already for those guys. Yeah. In best ball, no less. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Dave. You need Dave. If you have trouble making ends meet, you need Dave. If you have a medical emergency and you can't pay your bill, you need Dave. If you had that car go into the shop, the kids need to sign up for Little League, you need Dave if you need cash. So Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. And with Dave, there's no interest, no late fees, no credit check, none of that stuff. That's more money to fill your tank, get your car repaired, catch up on bills, and Dave can help you out. And all you have to do is download the Dave app from the App Store right now or go to dave.com/fantasypros. Again, that's dave.com/fantasypros. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Go to dave.com/fantasypros. Sign up today for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly, because Dave is there for you when you need that little extra. And now back to the action. All right, let's talk about wide receivers here. Baltimore desperately needs some. Jacoby Myers floating around there. Also Alan Lazard. These are two guys that, you know, kind of fit that possession wide receiver bill. And I think that's something that Baltimore Ravens have really struggled to find. Just capable, boring, but dependable wide receiver play. Billy, do you think either of these guys or one of them potentially lands in Baltimore, whether Lamar shows up there or not? Do you think this would be a good fit? Because Rashad Bateman clearly has not been able to stay on the field, and they clearly have not done a good job of finding other guys that are reliable, dependable at the position. And these two guys kind of are that definition.
Yeah, I think Baltimore would be a good fit for either of them. I also think the Giants would be a good fit for either of them. Both are in the need of the position in order to give their quarterback some weapons. Jacoby Myers, very quietly, always a PPR asset in fantasy. And I was looking at a model I created for kind of breakout candidates, taking five different criterias, and he lands inside that scope of receivers outside the wide receiver 15 position who hit on 4 out of 5 of those metrics. And you look at the other receivers who were ahead of him, who either landed on 4 or 5 or 5 out of 5. And he is up there with some of the best. I think that if he lands in an offense where they are going to be able to give him a little bit more volume, I think once that touchdown, he's always kind of been depleted of touchdowns. It's been the joke with his career. And I think if he's able to even just get 4 or 5 a year, that's going to catapult him into like the top 25 in the position.
Billy mentions too, you know, the Giants being a landing spot looking for a dependable wide receiver play with Sterling Shepard, officially a free agent as of yesterday. D-Bro, one of these guys potentially a fit there for that Giants offense?
I think if you're looking at one of them, it's probably Alan Lazard, because I think Wando Robinson's going to have the slot role all to himself. And really, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the Giants to sit here and draft or to sign somebody like Jacoby Myers, considering the addition of Wando Robinson last year. I would like to see Myers land in Baltimore. Lazard, I don't care where he goes. It does not matter. We know who Lazard is. And for everybody out there in the streets talking about, oh, I'm Lazard, wide receiver one, baby. Didn't happen. We know what Lazard is. Like, at this point in his career,
hey, he was a nice double digit wide receiver 3 for a half a season. That's helpful.
He was a nice best ball draft trap last year. That's basically it. I mean, you heard Rodgers coming out and being like, hey, he could be a wide receiver. The dude last year was 40th in target per route run rate and 42nd in yards per route run. We know who he is. Insert Dennis Green quote here. It's the fact of it. So I don't really care where Lazard goes. He's probably not going to be anything more than like a wide receiver 4 low end or wide receiver 5. So if a team's going to burn their cash on him, good luck.
All right. Well, let's talk about another wide receiver potentially on the market. Odell Beckham Jr. Remember him? Hope nobody wasted a draft pick on him last year. Gosh, we tried to tell you. We tried. Hope you listened. If you didn't, I don't know what to say. But this is an interesting one because now he'll be fully removed from the surgery. We knew last year was going to be a tenuous situation at best. The Bills hired wide receiver coach that has Odell Beckham connections. We know Dallas has expressed interest in the past in him. The Giants also, another team looking for a wide receiver, depending on the health. D-Bro, in your opinion, Odell Beckham ends up where next year? And if so, what quarterback do you want to tie him to for the best possible fantasy outcome?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head here, Joe. Let's just put him in Big Dallas. Like, let's go with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he'd be an immediate upgrade over Michael Gallup as the wide receiver 2. And I'm sorry, Gallup stands. But if you watched him last year, it's not just the health. Gallup has been just a guy for most of his career outside of one stellar season. Beckham would be an automatic upgrade. Like, if we harken back to his time with the Rams where we're like, okay, decent quarterback play before he got injured, he was 22nd in PFF receiving grade, 36 in yards per route run. Even at those metrics, those are numbers that Gallup has never sniffed, only outside of one season in his career. So I think that would be, considering if we get Odell being the Odell and the Rams version, just that level, not like peak Odell, but that version of Odell, it'd be an upgrade for the Dallas Cowboys and one that I'd be very interested in, considering maybe Dalton Schultz is not back there. So we're talking about targets being funneled to what? Odell and CeeDee Lamb? Sounds pretty good.
Well, 3 years ago, nobody even knew who Dalton Schultz was. Be honest, everybody. Come on. Billy, let's talk about this, because if he does end up with the Cowboys, does he automatically get that negativity in a way? Because people say, oh, well, you know, CeeDee Lamb's going to get all this stuff. But we talk about T. Higgins. We talk about Devontae Smith. We talked about a lot of these, you know, Jaylen Waddle, these number 2 guys on their own team that could still be wide receiver 1s or fringe wide receiver 1s in fantasy. Does Odell fit that bill for you if Dallas is the place?
I think Dallas would be a better fit than the Giants, because at this point in his career, he's no longer a number 1 wide receiver. I think he still has the talent to succeed, but he's going to need somebody else to take that number 1 DB off him in coverage. He's going to need a little bit more space. He's going to need a little bit more time to get out of runs now. It's just not the Odell Beckham Jr. that everyone remembers catching that magnificent catch down the sideline when he was with the Giants. Those days are gone. It's just best to just take it in now and accept it and move on and just say that he is going to be a solid number two on a team and more than likely a back end wide receiver three or four in fantasy.
Well, didn't we kind of see it with the Rams a couple years ago too? When he landed there, all of a sudden he was a touchdown machine for the Rams because everybody's, you know, on Cooper Kupp. You know, you put him on the second corner, all of a sudden that's a match he can still win at this age.
Exactly.
Where he's at in his career. So we've already seen the blueprint. Just somebody go out there and get him. Michael Thomas, remember him? He used to play football. That was fun times. He used to be really, really good. That was awesome. There's another SNL throwback. I feel like Chris Farley will always say, remember when Michael Thomas was the best wide receiver in fantasy? Yeah, that was awesome. So I don't know what to do here at this point. I know the Bears desperately need wide receivers. I don't know if this is a bridge too far for them to take. Billy, I'm at a loss here with Michael Thomas because last year I did make some calculated late picks of Michael Thomas just in the off chance because it's a boomer bust kind of selection. Yep. It started off okay and then quickly disintegrated. So in your opinion, is the Bears a landing spot for him or just anywhere besides New Orleans or is he just washed?
Yeah, Bears seem to be the constant connection that we keep hearing through the media. I think he's washed. I think he could be a number two there. I think he may command a target share of a number one just based on the name, but I don't think he's at that point in his career where he has the skills to be a number one anymore, nor the speed. But I think, honestly, to me, it feels like it's more of a attitude issue with him, and he doesn't want to play football. Like you look at him when he was dominant, he seemed like he wanted to be on the field. He was constantly, you know, challenged. He was constantly, you know, rising to the occasion. We just don't see that anymore when he's on the field. It just seems like he has checked out, and after he got his contract, and doesn't want to play football.
D-Bro, does he not want to play football, or does he just not want to play for the Saints?
I think he wants to play to win, and I don't think it's going to happen in Big Easy with New Orleans, the state of their roster and stuff like that. And I'll push back. Like, I think Michael Thomas is kind of in that Odell Beckham type of bucket. Like, I think he could still be a serviceable, if not a strong wide receiver too, for an NFL franchise. Because, I mean, last year when we saw him on the field, weeks one through three, 19% target share, 1.73 yards per route run. He was garnering a 22% target per route run rate. These are all solid metrics, like not otherworldly metrics. Let's get wild here for a second, guys. I know that they are only 12th in cap space, but their GM manages to do some pretty interesting things with free agency. What if Michael Thomas were to replace Juju Smith-Schuster and went to the Chiefs?
That would certainly be something that I would think immediately Billy would put his fantasy ADP at a much higher rate.
Correct.
And probably have a similar output to what Juju had last year, which is a couple of splash games. And the rest of the time, all of us kind of looking around going, you know, poking with a stick saying, why don't you do something?
Yeah, there's definitely landing spots that I think would revitalize his career. I just think that the chances of it happening are probably, you know, less than predictable. And it's going to be, I definitely could see a scenario where it happens, but if it does happen, I think that's the only way it's going to be, at least convince me to draft him.
One more wide receiver I want to talk about. I know he's had some connections already, you see in the media, to potentially being the guy to replace, you know, what Dallas needs. But DJ Chark, this is just pure me. I'm looking at the NFL landscape and I'm saying, you know, if I'm DJ Chark and if I'm the Houston Texans, I think that's a good marriage. They desperately need some professional wide receivers there who are kind of in their prime years. I think this would be a really good potential landing spot. D, what do you think of this? This is my brainchild. No one else's. I'm playing fantasy what if here, but let's talk about it. You need he's been around the block a little while. He is certainly, you know, showed you some moments last year in Detroit. He's certainly an upgrade over what the Houston Texans currently have. If you want to bring in a rookie quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, whoever it ends up being at the end of the day, what do you think about DJ Chark landing in Houston or potentially somewhere else?
For Houston, I'm not as elated only because we don't know the quarterback play. Like, oh, I don't want
Davis passing Mills a kidney stone. What the hell are you doing over there?
I'm thinking about the Houston Texans offense. It's painful, Joe.
So it's similar to passing a kidney stone. It's the
pretty much
the equivalent. All right,
it's painful. Just like
the
equivalent
of Derek Carr is Andy Dalton. That's just want to keep these SAT analogies straight on the show here today.
So I'm not feeling the Texans because they're. I don't want any part of that offense. But you can't. I mean, look, the Bears have cap space for days, dude. Like, could you tell me that
that's a good one too?
With Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney speed, DJ Chark speed, Sounds Forget, pretty look, good with Justin Fields tossing it deep, dude.
The Chase Claypool trade was, we said it at the time, it was so dumb. It was ridiculous value for Chase Claypool. But you're not wrong. They still need wide receivers. What do you think? DJ with the Bears? I know we're trying to give the Bears wide receivers. I mean, Baltimore could need another landing spot, too, for DJ. What do you think, Billy? Maybe.
Before we continue, I want to say DJ Chark.
I love it. Like he's the first guy that ever did. Breaking new ground. Director of operations right here. Director. I'm going to take that nameplate right off your desk.
Bears have the cap space and the need. Atlanta has the cap space and the need. I think that Baltimore, we mentioned earlier, has cap space and need. Giants have cap space and the need. All these teams I could see going for them. I think Falcons make a lot of sense. I think that the, especially if they're going to try to entice, you know, a Lamar type talent to come there to play quarterback, they're going to want to sign some weapons in free agency to entice someone else coming there, because the likes of Kadarius Hodge and Olamide Zaccheaus aren't cutting it.
No, Atlanta's I like the Atlanta like one too. It's a little outside the box, but I like the Atlanta. I'm telling you, I feel like Atlanta, they are a quarterback away. I'm sorry. They run the football. That division is trash. They're an elite quarterback away. They might have to score their way, outscore everyone to get there, but I think they can. I really do.
We also buried the lead too. Like the Falcons were also in on, like, they were on the outskirts of Deshaun Watson talk too. So
yeah,
it's not out of the realm that, like, they say, you know what? We got some quiche. Let's burn it. It's all good.
Mm-hmm. A lot of quiche. All right, let's get to some running backs here. Josh Jacobs, he's going to be out there.
Oh, God.
Isn't it time for the Buffalo Bills to make a move here? Like, I want the Buffalo Bills to realize that you have to run the football in January if you want to go to the Super Bowl. You have to balance out your offense, because when they did, it was the best version of their offense that they had. They always go away from the run. What in an all-purpose three down back like Josh Jacobs coming off a phenomenal season, Billy, be the guy for Buffalo to make a big power move and say, you know what? Let's finally give a little bit more balance to this offense. Let's get a little bit tougher and run the football down people's throats a little bit more and take some pressure off the defense. What do you think of Josh Jacobs in Buffalo or potentially somewhere else? What would it do for his fantasy value?
I think that anywhere he lands that he's not getting 37 touches a game, he's not going to do well. It took him so many carries to succeed. There is no situation that he's going to see that amount of volume in the NFL, and we are not going to have a repeat of his statistics that we saw last year. It was the perfect storm, and it all lined up and landed in Josh Jacobs' lap. He was even coming into games questionable, maybe not even looking like he was going to play, and they give him the ball 37 times a game. It just made zero sense. It was the most frustrating thing to rank, because from a statistical standpoint and from a talent perspective, he did not deserve that amount of carries.
He buried me last year.
Hold on a second. As somebody who did take a share or two of Jacobs late, he did produce 4.9 yards per attempt, 1,650 rushing yards, also had 53 receptions and 64 targets for 400 yards. He had, 12 touchdowns. I mean, maybe he didn't deserve it in the models or projections or things like that. But look, I'm not saying he's going to find that necessarily in the next place he goes. But if he finds 90% of it on a good offense in a good ecosystem, as we like to say here on the program, Derek Brown, can Josh Jacobs still be better than people realize?
Hold up. I have to rant here for a minute. He had a 76% snap share and an 83.7% opportunity share. And that's all the touchdowns he got. Like, I would expect like a LaDainian Tomlinson style year if you're getting that type of volume. This is
ninth most red zone touches too.
But wait a minute. Didn't
this
you
is ridiculous.
Say
I don't understand
quarterback. Wait a minute.
I don't understand why people are still like jock about Billy, you know, this year, and he's going in round two in fantasy draft. Great. I won't own him because I refuse to do it. But the amount of volume he got last year was just unfathomable from a ranking perspective and from projections. You can't project that in the beginning of the season that someone's gonna see 83.7% of the opportunity share.
Well, Billy, Luzio,
go ahead. But I want to use something that Billy said earlier on the show is, you know, whenever you have a new offense coming in that changes a lot of things, maybe that was just a byproduct of all of that quote unquote new between McDaniels and Carr and things not really working out, that the one thing you could rely on was Josh Jacobs. And you're kind of, again, it wasn't an efficient offense, even though it did put up fantasy numbers based on the volume. if you drop him into the Buffalo Bills, a pretty darn good offense, could he still become somebody who is possibly underappreciated or undervalued in fantasy?
No, because he's overvalued right now. It's going to take a lot for him to swing to undervalued. We look at the metrics that matter with a running back, something like breakaway rate, breakaway runs, right? With all that volume that he had, he still only had 15, which is only running back 6. I would expect that type of volume for him to be number one in that category if he is a talented running back. You look at breakaway run rate, he's number 31, 4.4%. Yes, it's because of the volume, but if you take a look at the amount of times he's running the ball, you would expect him to break away a few more runs. It's I can't get on Josh Jacobs' chain. I refuse to do it. I think he had his career year last year. It's only downhill from here.
I love it. I feel like the player profiler, when you write out Josh Jacobs, is I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I feel like that's the beginning of it. Derek Brown, let's put Josh Jacobs somewhere. Where's the best landing spot for him to get any of the fantasy? You can say all you want. I mean, he's going to land somewhere, and we need running backs.
He's going to land somewhere, but tell me what team that actually has cap space to sign him is going to be a for me, the best case scenario for Josh Jacobs is to go right back to the Raiders. Because outside of that, there's no other spot where you're going to say, okay, this is a good thing for Josh Jacobs. Like the Bears.
What about the Cardinals? No. What about they get rid of James Conner?
Well, they're also probably going to be without Kyler Murray to start the year.
Well, so, that's exactly my point. You want to talk about a place for volume. That's exactly where I'm going with that.
The Giants, if they don't sign Saquon.
You asked, Giants, if they don't sign Saquon Barkley, that's another one as well. There's some spots out there.
My problem with Josh Jacobs is that he feels very much like DeMarco Murray after his career year with the Dallas Cowboys.
That's a good one.
Best parallel that I could draw.
Finally, you made a good parallel on the show today. Thank God.
Hey, it's about time. I mean, I'm due for one now, right? But to put Muzio's the volume concerns into context, if you go back all the way to 2010, Josh Jacobs just finished with the 6th most touches in a singular season out of any running back.
It's
not like he's been perfectly pristine. Like, he's not Derrick Henry. So expecting him to hold up under that type of volume for multiple seasons, I think, is a fool's errand. So I'm not in on Josh Jacobs. And we talked about the Bills earlier. I don't even think he'd be the bell cow for the Bills. Because guess what? Here's a newsflash, people. James Cook is easily a better passing down back than Josh Jacobs. The numbers easily bear this out. Like, you're looking at target per route run rates, Cook 30%. Jacobs 20%. Yards per route run, Cook also has him there. PFF receiving grades, Cook also bests him there, like by a wide margin, 12th versus 25th. So I think if you're looking at Jacobs, in most scenarios, the best thing that you're hoping for is that he's the 1A. And I'll push back on Muzio a little bit. Like, he was efficient in some categories as far as like tackle breaking metrics, but I thought for his entire career, Jacobs has been an overrated pass catcher. Like, everybody been screaming to the high heavens, like, every single year, like, why does he not get targets? He doesn't get them because he's not good. Like, he doesn't get them because he doesn't earn them. Last year, the entire offense fell apart, and Josh McDaniels is a total idiot. So take that for what you will, but I think it's really the Raiders. Maybe you could talk me into the Giants, but
what about the Dolphins? Can I talk you into the Dolphins?
No, because they have weapons, they'll use them. They won't hand the ball 40 times a game.
As an efficient running back situation,
you're hoping for touchdowns.
Yeah, you're hoping for touchdowns, but that's a team that does want to also run the football. And yeah, because of the weapons they have,
he'll probably see similar red zone opportunities, but he's not going to see the amount of like passing volume. And
you're going to drop him. He'd be
so glad we saved Josh Jacobs for the end of the show. This is great.
It kind of tilted me.
Like,
I know. I've done a bunch of shows with you, Billy, in the last year, and I've never seen you so upset. This is fantastic.
It was one of my biggest misses in rankings.
Well, I think it's everybody's biggest miss in rankings. Nobody thought Josh Jacobs would. I mean, everybody thought maybe he'd start to pivot even to Zamir White more, and that just did not happen. It just all went to Jacobs. And look, Jacobs saved my bacon in the 2 spots that I had him. And look, and I was somebody who had a lot of Javonte Williams and a lot of Breece Hall and guys like that, but Josh Jacobs was that dude. All right, a couple more running backs that are out there. Kareem Hunt, Rashad Penny, Deonta Foreman. Any of these guys, Billy, for you have a landing spot where you would feel that they could return decent, let's say, RB2 value at this stage in their career?
I think probably the best case for Foreman is remaining in Carolina. I would like to see Hunt. I actually would like to see Hunt go to Miami. That was actually one. That's one that I had kind of in the back of my mind projections. I think it makes a lot of sense based upon their running back corps and their contracts. So I would love to see that happen. Would love to see Foreman stay there and him and Chuba to keep splitting the load.
All right. How about you, D, for these guys? I'm with you 100%, by the way, on Foreman. Are you buying into that too? Penny, Hunt, any specific landing spot where you think could resurrect some of the value here?
I want to hop into as many best ball drafts as I can right now and gobble up all the Rashad Penny, because
really
people make all the jokes about his injuries and things like that. When he has been on the field the last two seasons, he has been, and this is not even crazy, like I'm not stretching, he has been a special, special runner. If you look at his efficiency metrics over the last two seasons, he's been first. He's led the NFL based off of what you're looking at for your volume cutoff and yards after contact per attempt. And it is by a massive margin. Like, he has had 4.23 and 4.5 yards after contact per attempt. Those numbers are insane at the NFL level. Hell, you don't barely see those in college. So you put Penny on a team, like if he can hold up, you put Penny on a team like the Falcons or the Miami Dolphins. Oh, dude. Like, we talked about El Jefe last year. Put Penny on the freaking
Dolphins. I want somebody to end up in Miami. I'm trying to put somebody fantasy-wise in Miami who isn't Mostert or Wilson or one of these guys that can't stay on the field. Some non-San Francisco 49er reject, please.
Penny,
anybody
fits the exact mold of what the Dolphins like to do at their in their offense and with running back.
Like, I got a dynasty
share of Penny. They signed pieces in Raheem Mostert. They traded for Jeff Wilson, and they were just fine with their rushing attack with that. If you put Penny in that offense, he could explode. He could be like this year's version of like Jamal Williams getting tons of touchdowns. That's the guy I want to garner in best ball drafts right now, or if in dynasty leagues, like give me him for almost like the cost of freemium, and I'm in, man.
Yeah. Who'd have thought when we started this show that we would get all this hate for Josh Jacobs and all the love for Rashad Penny by the end of it? What a crazy NFL what if program we just did. If you've got some what if scenarios, I want to hear from you. Drop them in the comments below on the YouTube channel and subscribe if you haven't already to Fantasy Pros YouTube, youtube.com/fantasypros. God, make your thoughts known. Do you like some of the things the boys said? Do you disagree? Do you agree? Do you have some other alternate ideas? We want to know. So drop the comments in there, and don't forget to go follow our guest on Twitter, FF Muzio, on the Twitter machine. Billy, it was always great to have you on here on the program. Congrats again. Player Profiler is getting a damn good one here with all of your spreadsheets and all of your knowledge. So I'm happy you came on the show. Happy for you with the new gig. And we wish you all the best with that. I want to thank the sponsor of today's show, and that's Dave. Head over to the App Store or go to dave.com/fantasypros. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. And you can do that at dave.com/fantasypros. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Billy and D-Bro, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.